Welcome to the Improv in Practice podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Wilson, bringing you interviews, inspiration, and information on improvised theater with Synergy Theater. You can find Synergy Theater's classes, workshops, performances, and more at synergytheater.com. That's S-Y-N-E-R-G-Y theater.com. Okay, lights down, curtain up. Hello, friends. Today is October 6, 2024, as I record this. Arastu Durakshan is a composer, producer, teacher, and performer. Arastu is an alum of Berklee Improv and is a familiar cast member in Synergy Theater performances. Arastu's newest role is as the director of the upcoming improvised Twilight Zone. Val Arastu and I talk about Arastu's inspiration for the improvised Twilight Zone and the show's unique challenges. The improvised Twilight Zone opens at the Lesher Center in Walnut Creek, Thursday, October 17th, 2024. Podcast episode spoiler alert, we have a few impromptu musical treats in store for you. Okay, on to the interview. Arastu and Val, here we are. I'm really excited about the Twilight Zone. I watched last night an episode of the original series that ran on CBS from 1959 to 1964, I think it was. I have to say that going back to the series, which I would have watched in the 80s when they reran it on TV, I was expecting something more spooky, but it really made me think, and it was more philosophical. It was definitely dark, but made me consider something that I hadn't thought about in a while. Arastu, can you speak to why you chose the Twilight Zone TV series to inspire you in your efforts to direct Synergy Theater's The Twilight Zone?
Yeah. Well, first of all, hello. Thank you for having me. And like you, I was introduced to this series, I think in the early 90s, when I was in my early teen years. Personally, throughout my life, I've always been interested in, I wouldn't say so much horror movies, but I enjoy thrillers and things a little bit off the beaten path. I'm into esoteric topics. I'm interested in the paranormal stuff. This series captivated me in the way it was originally presented, the opening sequence, the whole ambiance of the show was something that drew me in. Of course, the famous episode would be the one with William Shatner where he's on an airplane. And there's a creature on the wing and he's trying to tell everyone, but no one believes him. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that episode is called Terror at 30,000 Feet, but I could be wrong.
I believe it is.
Okay. I haven't been brave enough to go back and watch it, but I will. And I haven't seen it since the 80s, but I can recall to mind very easily the way that was shot. I can still see the scenes in my head.
Me too. The way the show was presented, the whole ambiance of the show, the topics they dealt with, it drew me in fairly quickly. Of course, back in the 90s when I was watching some of them, I didn't have full access to a large number of episodes, but I always enjoyed the idea of it. I've always enjoyed music that was different and experimental, avant-garde. So I think just how my personality is draws me into these types of shows and topics.
What was the moment where you were inspired, that moment when your brain made the connection between, I want to direct a show, a Synergy show, and and yeah, your good memories around your experience with the Twilight Zone?
I'm going to backtrack a little bit. I teach improv to adults and kids. For my adult class, I teach the advanced 301 class, which is focused around long form improvisation. And I was thinking about show types to present to the students, and this came to mind. I didn't know at the time that other improv companies had done their own version of the Twilight Zone improvised. I did a little bit of research and I thought to myself, this is a really fun idea to tackle. And it's a difficult show to tackle because it's focused around subverting expectations, and finding a moral or ethical theme that the shows are focused on. So I first started doing this, and I directed two mini shows with my advanced classes, and they went well. So that was a fun test for me to get a sense of, could this work the way I imagine it for the stage? Being with Synergy Theater since 2017, gaining more experience and confidence and understanding of group dynamics and being more comfortable with the company itself, I finally felt, hey, why don't I go ahead and give this a shot with us? And I'm very glad I did. The exact moment where that thought came to me, I think, was after our zombie show last year in October. Just the whole Halloween atmosphere, the vibe, and especially me feeling confident enough to direct a show for us. That was the moment where I decided to present this idea, and they graciously accepted it.
We're so glad you did, Arastu. When I saw this included in your upcoming season of shows, I was so excited. Right away, I saw the genius and how deep a field to draw from and use as an inspiration for a new improv show. Val, what do you remember about the original series, The Twilight Zone?
Probably as much as you do. I mean, I just watched a couple episodes in the past week, knowing we were going to be talking to Arastu, and it's pretty much what I remember. The suspense, not, I don't consider it a horror, even though it's October and people, they're thinking zombie and that kind of genre. And Twilight Zone is very much not horror. Like you said, there's a very deep psychological aspect to it. I was also very excited, absolutely. And watching some of the shows triggered some memories. The William Shatner one. There's so many good ones. I remember the one, what's it called? How to Serve Man. Do you know that one? It's just the twists involved with Twilight Zone. And there's a play on the title. Maybe you should watch it first, Sarah. I don't want to give any spoilers because I think it's worth
Okay.
watching.
Yeah, and a note on watching, if someone wants to check out the episodes, I was able to find them through my cable provider streaming for free. There are other platforms that you can watch the original series on, but yeah.
I'm watching on Dailymotion for free. So I'm really interested, Arastu, because I know you've been directing other shows for Berkeley Improv, and now you're directing for Synergy. Do you notice any differences between the two?
Absolutely. With my student classes, the shows are shorter, so they're about an hour long. This one is going to be 2 hours. We have like two 45-minute act shows. And with Synergy, we're diving deeper into improvisational, not only improv concepts, but storytelling. With my students, it's more lenient and not as broken down, detailed work regarding story structure. I shouldn't say so much scene structure because we do work on scene structure there. But with Synergy, it's much more complicated and in depth. With my student show, we only do one show, which is we did it one show with three 20-minute episodes. But with Synergy, we're doing 16 episodes that are 45 minutes each. So it's much more involved. We have to be mindful to not repeat tropes that we might have told in previous stories. So it's more difficult and much more varied compared to my student shows.
And your student shows are through Berkeley Improv.
Yes.
Okay. And when you say 16 45-minute shows, am I understanding it correctly that you will then, for one visit to the theater, there will be two episodes?
Yes, one episode per act. So whoever sees the show will get two episodes, two 45-minute episodes per
Wow.
show.
Yeah. And that mirrors what the TV series provided audiences in that the show was like 25, 23 minutes each show. And Rod Serling, the writer and creator of The Twilight Zone, was determined and successfully did provide the audience with stories that were to the point, and like Val and both of you know, were philosophical in theme, very deep, but succinct.
Exactly. And season 1 through 3, the first 3 seasons, there were 25-minute episodes. Season 4, they experimented with 51-minute episodes. So we are modeling ours off of season 4 structure. As far as what you had just mentioned regarding Roth, he had many experiences in his life. He was in the military and he's seen a lot of death and tragedy. And before he went to the military, college and high school, he got involved in the debate team, was heavily focused around social issues. He wanted to be more of the, how to put it, like the Arthur Miller of television. And he wanted to write stories and shows that were not necessarily in a sci-fi or fantasy realm, but that focused more on social issues of the era. He was outright censored. The network wouldn't allow him to tell the stories that he wanted to tell. So he had to reconceptualize it in the form of the Twilight Zone show, which is fantasy. And he was then able to incorporate his ideas of morality and ethics and humanitarianism in each episode. He definitely had a theme of telling not only wonderful and sometimes spooky stories, but also having a strong sense of a life lesson in each one of them. Some episodes were also they ended on a positive note and a hopeful, uplifting note too. So it wasn't always dark and gloomy and mysterious in that sense.
Yes, an episode that comes to mind that mirrors what you're saying is it's an episode, I think it's the third or fourth one into the first series, and the title is Walking Distance. And it's about a man who is on vacation during the summer. He's driving on a road. He's someone who works in New York City and has a very demanding job, and he's just worn out, overstressed, overworked. He's on the road. It's summer. He's trying to take a vacation and he stops into a mechanic's shop and realizes that his hometown is just a mile down the road. And while his car's being worked on, he decides to walk down there and he expects that his hometown, which he hasn't been there for a long time, has completely changed. How familiar does that sound to the two of you? I know my hometown has completely changed. For example, where I went to eighth grade is now apartment condos. What about you two?
I just immediately thought of that saying that you can't go home. It's never the same. You think it is in your dreams. I mean, my high school is still around. I still drive past it, but it looks nothing like the school I went to. And
And
it's
Arastu, what about you?
I still live in the area that I grew up in, and there's massive changes. Where in my high school, they completely tore it down and built a new one. The place that I used to live is different. So I definitely echo those sentiments for sure. But being in the vicinity of where I grew up, I gradually saw the change and the beauty of the episode you're talking about. And there were similar themes in other episodes where a person either came back after a while, or they're just thrown back in, and to them, no time has passed. The change happened instantly or unexpectedly.
And so what he expects is not what he finds. His hometown has not changed at all. And the episode evolves from there. And it's very much like the previous episode, which the main character is an aging screen actress and spends her days in her film room watching her old movies and wishing that she could go back. But then the next episode is kind of on that theme, but the way it evolves and the lesson that is learned at the very end is incredible. How did you shepherd Zenergy Theater, the players, the performers? How did you shepherd their minds and their efforts in accomplishing this premise?
The first rehearsal, we discussed that I had a whole PDF write-out and giving history of not only the show, but Rod Serling himself, then a detailed structure of how I envision us performing. And then the next rehearsal, we just jump right into it. Sometimes for certain shows, for most of our shows, we take our time rehearsals with, we'll just practice 15 minutes of this part of the show, or we'll just do the first act. We gradually rehearse and build up to the full show format. But this one, I figured, let's just jump right into it and just see what happens. Because the challenge with this subject, this genre, with this show, is The Twilight Zone, not only does it deal with deep ethical issues, but it also deals with it in so many varied ways. One episode could be set in a Western world. One episode could be set in the Civil War era. One episode could be set 1,000 years in the future. That's another thing that we have to tackle, is meandering within different genres and story formats. One episode could focus around one person or five people. I figured, why don't we just jump right into it and see how quickly can we grasp these ideas. The way I would, how you mentioned, shepherd them through it was having them watch episodes on their own. And we did also a synergy watch party where we watched a few episodes together. A lot of talking about it, a lot of trial and error, and stopping during the rehearsal moments. We had many, many deep conversations as a group together, talking about what just happened, what we did, how, what could work, what can't work. It's just been a process of really just trial and error and just finding our footing. And the most difficult part for me anyway is finding a group mind around what is the theme and the ethical story that we're trying to present in this one, how we want to present it, and what plot twists can we offer at the end. Talking through this process together and finding ways to make that clear for us on stage and hopefully to the audience has been the most challenging part. So my shepherding them through this process has been mainly around clear communication and group dynamics and talking about it as a whole. I don't really sit there as a dictator in a sense and telling them it has to be done this way or that way. We're very open to sharing different viewpoints. And my role mainly is not only to offer the logistical format of the show, but to be a centerpiece to take everyone else's input and formulate them into a cohesive vision that we then share. So what you'll see on stage, even though I am the director of it, it's a wonderful communal effort to develop this story.
Were some of the synergy players not familiar with The Twilight Zone? I imagine maybe, I'm thinking maybe of the younger members of the team. Was this their first introduction to The Twilight Zone?
I would say that they knew of the show and they might have in passing seen some brief moments of an episode. But I don't think there was anyone that comes to my mind that was completely unfamiliar with it. At the very minimal level, they had some sense of what the show was about. But even myself, who was well-versed in it, it was still like riding bikes with training wheels. Regardless of what level each person had regarding their knowledge of the show, we still felt equally new to presenting it as a story. And this was not an easy one for us, I would say.
Rod, in his writing of the show, would have had time to edit, re-edit, and consider alternate endings. And Synergy Theater does not have that luxury of time. You have on the spot 45 minutes. That's it. Plus audience suggestions.
Yes, it's definitely a challenge.
Well, Val and I have the highest confidence in you as a director and then also as a team member. We can't wait to see how it comes across. I know that the team and with you at the helm is over capable of nailing this. But yes, what a challenge. Val, as an audience member and biggest fan and also the camera person, what was your experience during open rehearsal?
It was really fun. You definitely get two shows, I say, for the price of one. I mean, they're not related at all. If someone's expecting part two to be the same or continuation, it's not. The first one was the theme, or what was it? Talking to animals, or the ability to talk to animals, which was very fun. I really enjoyed that suggestion. But I was nervous for the group, wondering how you were going to bring it all to a satisfying conclusion in 45 minutes. because over and over we hear that you all have to go along with the twist at the end or the story won't make sense. I enjoyed the first one, I think, more than the second. The second was also a completely different theme, the tamarind candy obsession, but I enjoyed that as well. So I'm pretty sure audience members will be divided. They're going to be comparing the two, like, oh, I like the first one better, or I like the second one better. It's just human nature. I'm really excited to see how you're going to pull off 16 different stories now. Now, Ross, do you remember that comment during rehearsal where someone said, well, you can actually make 3 episodes?
Yeah.
He was thinking 45 minutes, it might be too long. Why don't you do 30 minute? Like, oh my gosh.
16 is enough. We need to do 24.
Yeah.
That was like, oh, sure. Synergy can do anything.
Arastu, will you talk a little bit about what open rehearsal is and how Synergy Theater uses it, and then also your experience of the open rehearsal for the Twilight Zone?
Sure. Our open rehearsals are, we invite people to come watch us do a rehearsal, and it's for free. And they see our process, and at the rehearsal, we do the full show with no interruptions. We don't stop and give each other notes. They come, they see us perform. We're not in costume. It's very relaxed. And then we sit around in a circle as a group. And then the cast asks the audience questions for feedback. For example, did the show feel like the Twilight Zone? Was any part of it confusing? What did you enjoy? What did you not enjoy? And the audience provides us their honest feedback so that we can then improve their experience. And it's a fantastic process. I love it. I think it's very helpful. The one we did for the Twilight Zone was immensely helpful for us. We had, Justin was so gracious to take all the notes down, and he typed it up in a beautiful, concise PDF. Every show that we perform, we do an open rehearsal. 9 out of 10 times we do it. For me, a wonderful tool to get a sense of how it's coming before we go to the actual stage.
So what feedback did you receive for the Twilight Zone, and how was it helpful?
It was a lot of feedback, very detailed feedback. We had a few hardcore Twilight Zone fans in the audience that night. So the feedback was very much focused around the thematic stories that we were trying to tell and how to better convey that. We also, each episode also has a Rod Serling style host. And there's going to be 4 hosts. So it's me, Eileen, Ken, and Griffin. Each night, per episode, you will have a different host. The first opening night on Thursday, I will host the first episode. Then Griffin will host the second episode. And then the following night, Ken will host one, and Eileen will host one. So the hosts are also a vital part of each episode, because the hosts won't be in the actual story on stage, but they are part of the story in the sense where the host's responsibility is to, they can pause the show at any point, stand up, they can get a suggestion from the audience mid-show if they feel inspired. And the host can also offer their own story ideas. For example, if there's the first scene is with a character named Jill and Robert, and they have a moment together, the host could then stand up and say, yes, and then Jill went off and got in her car and drove to the town where she didn't recognize. And the host could also clarify things if they feel that the story could use a little bit more cohesion. The host can also offer the moral of the story or ethical theme of the story if the host doesn't feel that the cast has found it yet. For example, the host can stand up, let's say halfway through an episode, and say, yes, and now this character is grappling with their greed, and their greed is what's driving them for this next thing. It's going to be a very fun and different type of experience, hopefully, for the audience.
Rod Serling was the narrator of the TV series. Did so very briefly, but I felt very helpfully, and his voice became so familiar and comforting at the beginning of episodes, giving the narration of the central character or the place and the time and the situation. And originally it was going to be Orson Welles, but if the internet is to be believed, Rod wasn't a huge fan of Orson and decided to do it himself. And thank goodness he did. He had a wonderful voice. And I really do like that. And it's unique to the show. I'm sure other shows did the same thing, but with all modern shows, I can't think of one that is the same way.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm so happy. I heard about that one regarding Orson Welles too. And how iconic of a character Rod Serling has become. And he was, I couldn't imagine anyone better to present it, toast it.
Yes, agreed. All right. Kind of an unsung hero of the series, I feel, is the music and the incredible scores that were provided by Bernard Herrmann.
Yes.
And yeah. And in the episode that we were talking about, Walking Distance, the musical score is incredible, very easy to listen to on its own, even. Now,
sure.
Arastu, I know that you are very practiced and passionate about music, and you compose your own music, and you've composed music for all of the Synergy Theater shows, and you're very adept at providing mood through your music in a way that my ears are not overly familiar with. Would you like to speak to what music means to you and how you tailored the musical score for the series and how you may be using it?
Well, music for me is my number one passion, love, reason for being here. Music for me, ever since I was 2 years old, I've had a deep connection with it. And what music means to me is just self-expression and storytelling, really. That's the simplest way I can put it. Music for me is a very visual medium. When I hear music, I imagine atmospheres and worlds that it embodies. I've always been that way. For this show, when the audience first walks in, the pre-show music, that's all going to be my scores for this one, as was with Adventure Serial. We will have the music that the show starts with, and there will be a piece of music where the intermission will take place, and of course the finale piece. But during the actual episode itself, there's not going to be any music played, only at the top of the acts and at the very end. Again, the pre-show music, the house music that the audience, when they're sitting down before the show that I made, builds the mood and the emotional expectations, the emotional anticipation of what is to come. That's not only helpful for the audience to get into the mood, into the vibe, but it's helpful for me to put myself in that headspace too. I hope the cast will also get that mindset. That's really the main reason why I compose the house music for this show, is to put people in that space, that before they even see an actor on stage, before a word is spoken, they are engulfed in the twilight zone.
The music sets the scene before the scene begins. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Arastu, can I put you on the spot? Do you have any music to share with us right now?
Yes, I could share with you some music.
Okay.
The piece is the intro that the audience will first hear when the actual show begins. When you see us come on stage, this is the theme that I made for the entrance. And it's not the do-do-do-do-do, it's not that one. Because first of all, for copyright reasons, and also just to challenge myself to create something more unique. Because our show is not going to be a one-for-one Twilight Zone, obviously, because audience suggestions and we're improvising it. So I made a piece that's unique to us as well. Let's see. Here we go. So that's one of the intros, and there's another one if you like me to play it. So for each episode, there's a different intro piece of music.
Wow. Arastu, that was incredible. It plays on the original theme, but in homage. And it is definitely a brand new piece of music, which I enjoyed. Val, what did you hear when you were listening?
I think it's too scary in a good way. My heart started racing, like, oh my God, that was amazing.
Thank you. It's Some of the music for the house music will be intense. Some of it will be lighter. For me, it's fun to have that more intense, scarier music to play because the show will, has comedic elements and it's a fun juxtaposition to have the two.
Would you like to play the next piece?
Sure, they're not long, but here you go. Here's another one.
Again, incredible. I would applaud. And
Yikes.
yes,
Equally scary.
wonderful. Arastu, what projects, musical projects, may you be working on outside of Synergy Theater?
Oh, yeah. Thank you for asking. They're very different styles of music, focusing around electronic stuff and getting into hopefully the video game world and eventually film. But after Twilight Zone, it's going to be three different projects, one for a label that I'm on. And that's going to be more ambient soundscapes, neoclassical works. There's the electronic stuff that's more focused around modern video game scores, much more aggressive. And there's this personal project that I'm working on, which is, I call, for lack of a better description, exotic Middle Eastern jazz. So those are the three things I'll be focusing on.
Exotic Middle Eastern
Eastern
jazz.
jazz. Yeah.
Arastu, again, I apologize, but I'm putting you on the spot because my ears are like, oh, can we please, please,
Sure.
can we listen to a little bit of
It's a teaser.
that? Yeah.
Yeah. Let me see if I could get this going for you.
Now, this is a genre of music that I haven't heard of before. Is this something that you have created, or is this existing that you are expanding on?
I never heard anything like this myself. I mean, it's not a genre that I have heard the way I'm thinking about it. So to answer your question, no, I'm not very familiar with it. It came out of my own inspiration, I should say. I'll play you this one sample and you could get a sense of it. We'll stop there.
Oh, you stopped that too soon. My ears were highly entertained.
Oh, thank
Me
you.
too. Wow, that's like a show in itself.
Yeah, and the music is very inspiring, Arastu. How do you add
Wow.
that element to your music? It gets my faculties going. How do you accomplish that?
I have no idea. My dad listened to traditional Persian music, and I always felt I wanted to incorporate rock and jazz and have that fusion of some type. And for like 2 decades, I've always had this bubbling inside me in some form. And I have a few traditional Persian instruments myself that I just noodle with. I always wanted to do something like that, but I didn't know how it would sound. And it was a gradual, slow, experimental process for me, and it's still ongoing. I'm still molding the clay, what this project will eventually become. So I wish I had a better answer for you, but it's trial and error and practicing things. Sometimes elements didn't work at all and just figuring it out.
What traditional Persian instruments do you have?
I have three. I have a traditional frame drum. It's kind of like a, think of it like a really big snare drum that you play with two hands. I also have a Persian dulcimer called a santur. It's just like very much similar to a dulcimer, but a little bit smaller. And also, I have a what's called a ganun, which is like a plucked guitar type instrument, sort of similar to a Japanese koto. They're in storage right now. I brought those instruments up to say that I just been practicing with different Middle Eastern sounds to get a sense of what I want to feel emotionally with this music.
I would like to have you back with those instruments that we could hear them
Oh,
live from you.
well, I'm
That
not definitely a virtuoso at that, but I
well,
could be.
yes, but just the experience of which each one of them sounds like and then how they speak to you as your instruments.
Thank you.
Val, what else do you have to say about Erastu's contribution of music to the Synergy shows?
Oh, I can't even imagine a show without his music now. In
Thank you.
fact, they go hand in hand to me. Like, if I just assume, why wouldn't you have your music with every show? I assume I'm going to see you at every show, Erastu.
Thank you.
And your show, The Improvised Twilight Zone, is the start of the Synergy Theater's 2024-2025 season,
Yeah.
which includes improvised Law and Order, improvised Dungeons and Dragons, and spontaneous Hitchcock, which was such a favorite. And trying to get more people to come to the shows and become subscribers, what would you say about the upcoming season?
I very much am looking forward to it. We haven't done the Law and Order or Dungeons and Dragons. I'm sure it's going to be fantastic, and I very much am excited to jump into those because they're genres that I think I'll personally love and have a lot of fun in. The Hitchcock was that's my favorite Synergy show that I've been a part of so far. I am very excited for that one to come up too. And as far as the music and my music in the shows, I would love to, when I have the proper equipment, to maybe even just for one show, have my setup so I could do all the music for the show in real time and
Ooh.
keep that underscore happening. But the only downside is that I couldn't then play. I couldn't be a performer in the show, only the musician. So there's a trade-off there.
Wow. Yeah, that would be incredible. If only you could clone yourself.
Yeah, I tried to do that, but it didn't work.
But maybe that's a theme that will be addressed in one of this Twilight Zone episodes.
Maybe we saw
Maybe.
that's why in the last show for Lynn's soap opera we had the iPad and we could trigger the music throughout,
That was
and
fun.
that was a
Yeah.
lot of fun. But it's nice to have the ability to improvise the music as the show is improvised too, and add that wonderful element, and not just music but sound effects, weather sounds and rain and all the wonderful things that a theater performance would provide.
Where can people find your music?
I'm on SoundCloud, just Erastu Music on SoundCloud and Instagram, Erastu Dirakshan. I put samples of my work up there. I'm also on Spotify and Amazon Music and Apple Music, iTunes. So just search for my stuff and you'll come across it.
And how do people reach out and get in contact with you if they'd like to talk to you more about what you can provide?
The best way to do that is through Instagram or Facebook.
And it's Arastu, Arastoo.
Yes. And if they go to synergy.com, that there's an about section that talks about the cast members, and you can find my name there and search for me.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and just come to a show and say hello.
Yes, it's often that after each show, Ken Adams, the director of Synergy, will bring the cast out into the back after the show at the Lesher Center for the Arts in Walnut Creek and have a little mingle there with fans of the show, audience members, and the team. I always go back, and so does Val, and we congratulate them on a fantastic show. If you would like, as an audience member, to experience that, it's very fun to see you guys after the show.
Yeah, and this time I think we'll be in costume. So if they want to take photos with the cast, and that's a lot of fun.
Yes. Arastu, what would you like the audience to take away from these shows that you have directed?
Goosebumps, chills, a sense of inspiration, and a little bit of awe, and thinking that improv is not just relegated to quips and puns and short form jokes, which is all wonderful that I love, but that improv is truly another theatrical art form. I tell my students that improv is just another thread in the tapestry of theater, and that we are actually giving you a theatrical play experience rather than a short form party games experience.
You sound very much like Rod Serling in what he wanted for the Twilight Zone TV series. He felt like he was up against a perception of TV and of drama that drama had to be in a certain format stories had to be told in this rigid format in order to get across what they had to say and make audiences think and feel like they were pulled in. His premise was that, no, I can do this. We can do this. And watch how we do it. And they did it. The Twilight Zone TV series is rated one of the top TV series of all time. And you sound very much like the creator there.
I'm very flattered by that. Thank you so much. Ken Adams, the artistic director of Synergy Theater, he has this wonderful way of helping us to think about scenes and scene work. And I credit a lot of growth to Ken himself. And I'm grateful to be part of this company. And Ken says, why did the playwright write this scene? What's the purpose of it? What are you trying to tell? So that's very much something that I take to heart when we do our shows. And hopefully that will come across in what people watch with our shows, is that each scene, each line of dialogue has a reason, a purpose. There'll be moments of wonderful laughter. For this show in particular, I want audiences, again, to take away not just laughter and a fun time, but chills, goosebumps, and a sense of inspiration.
Well, my anticipation is high, and I know that it will be met. And if people want to reach out and have you as a teacher, I was thinking as you were speaking that that heart that you were talking about, it would make you a wonderful teacher, and that I would love to take one of your classes through Berklee Improv, but how would people find that information?
Yeah, they just, thank you so much. They go to berkleeimprov.com or they can just reach out to me directly.
Val, when are you going to take one of Arastu's classes?
I'm not an improviser. I'd like to be behind the scenes, and I cannot wait to bust out the camcorder again for this show, which is coming up very quickly, right? October 17th.
Yeah, yes. That's right.
The first show. And Everyone, get your tickets now, because I feel like this is going to be a sellout.
I have the same feeling. Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Thank you. Also, Ken Adams himself, he's a phenomenal instructor. And Synergy.com, if anyone is interested in learning about this, Synergy.com is a great place to jump in, and you'll be part of the whole Synergy family.
Absolutely. In closing, is there anything, Arastu, that you would like to add or make sure that we communicate?
First of all, I want to thank you two for this wonderful interview. I love listening to these podcasts, Sarah and Val. These podcasts are one of the highlights of my time when new episodes come about. And I've listened to every single one of them, and I love what you're doing. And I'm so grateful to be a part of it. Finally, go to synergytheater.com. Follow us on Facebook, on Instagram. We're really trying to put something different out into the world in the improv community, in the wonderful community that the improv community is, and all the different wonderful show types, from short form to long form to comedy, sports, whatever there is. We want to put our voice, our mark on the theatrical world. So come see our shows. It's a great way to support your local theater community.
Thank you, Arastu. Val and I consider this one of the best uses of our time. It's a joy for us.
Always.
Yes. And
same
Val,
here.
And Val, do you have anything to add?
No, just I look forward to seeing everyone at the show.
Yes, we'll see you in the audience at the Vukasin Theater at the Lesher Center in Walnut Creek. We'll see you before the show as we listen to the music and get in the mood, and then maybe we'll even see you after the show. And thank you both again so much.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, everybody. Okay. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. And that's our show. If you think improv sounds like fun, it is. If you think you'd like to try improv, it's easy. Just go to synergytheater.com and click on School of Improv. Synergy Theater offers beginner, advanced, and master classes. Synergy Theater is also on Facebook. Please rate, review, and follow this podcast. Your support makes a difference. Synergy Theater is a 501c3 tax-deductible nonprofit that depends on the participation of current and future star supporters and improvisers like you. Thank you.